I didn't know that my turn would fall close to Christmas, but all truth relates to Christmas, doesn't it? Many people are suicidal at the Christmas season. And so today we have some strange doctrine to look at. It's heavenly suicidal tendencies, which Paul is revealing when he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. That's Philippians 3:10. He, Jesus, is the reason for the season. The power of his resurrection, that's what Paul wants to know. What kind of power is that? Well, God has a lot of power, different kinds of power. He is showing off some of his power through the natural creation. I have these numbers from John MacArthur. For example, over 13 billion light years of this universe are now visible. It took a lot of power to create, God created them. But even now, one electrical storm on our planet can waste 1,300,000,000 horsepower. There are about 1,800 electrical storms going on at any time. Then the state of Missouri, with an area of 70,000 square miles, has approximately 38 inches of annual rainfall. That's enough water to fill one lake that's 22 feet deep, 60 miles wide, 250 miles long. The sun lifted all that water. It took a lot of power. Then the human heart is about 1.5-pound muscle, and it pumps 1,800 gallons of blood daily. That's enough power to lift 65 tons, 2 inches off the ground. God made the heart. The sun burns 4 million tons of matter per second. That's 500 million, million, billion horsepower. And over 100 billion stars are just in our Milky Way. But then tens of billions of other galaxies are beyond that. Besides all this matter, they theorize that visible matter is only 10% of what we see, and there's another 90% or so dark matter, also called antimatter. It's being pulled apart at an accelerating rate. God made the stars. He made them on the fourth day, and God tells the number of the stars. He says he named them all. Then energy and power, the energy and the power used and produced in this universe is incomprehensible. General revelation shows that God is and that he has lots of power. Now to assume that everything came from nothing is like believing that an explosion in a junkyard produced a 747 airplane. It's not gonna happen. But besides natural power, God has spiritual resurrection power. Amen. I can't even begin to comprehend what kind and how much power it takes to resurrect a dead person. But God began to show that power in Abraham and Sarah. Then there was a real resurrection. Elijah raised a widow's boy. Then Jesus raised some people. Also many Old Testament saints came out of the graves. Paul raised one boy with God's resurrection power, but all these resurrected bodies had to die again. It gets even better. Jesus was raised unto permanent life by God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and by himself, taking up his life again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul said. That's kind of a permanent resurrection. That I may know experientially the power of his resurrection. It's more than knowing about some person having gotten resurrected. This is available to us too. Being born again, being born from above, or born from the Spirit is a resurrection miracle. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So it's utterly fantastic to look at the new creation of a Christian. It's a resurrection miracle of the highest degree. But God is infinite. He can make a good thing even better. He makes a new creation grow and grow. More on this spiritual resurrection power. For Paul, the Christian life is a walk in the death to self. Now that takes more power than a hydrogen bomb has. Acts 1 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be martyrs unto me, from which you get the English word martyrs. This witness is accompanied with hardship and persecution. It takes power to give up selfish ideas. The greatest victory today is victory over myself and to gain self-control. That's the fruit or the end product of the Holy Spirit. Some people claim to have some Holy Ghost power, but they have abominable lifestyles, stuck in adulteries and addictions. Where is the resurrection power in that case? Jesus said, all power has been given to me, and he shares that power with us. He wants to. People who claim to be Christians need to walk in newness of life. They need to climb out of those holes they have dug for themselves. The ideal life the Bible shows us to live is people having enough power to turn from crime to Christ and to start working for themselves, to work for their wives, work for their children, work for their old parents if they need them, and pay taxes and be an accountable, reliable producer in the church. There's a lot to learn for us. Stealing is not honoring to God, and it doesn't require any power. We need to experience the can-do Jesus, who has enough guts and power to tell his children to put enough to put off the old man and live in newness of life. The Jesus who has enough power to turn selfish people into selfless people. I want more of that power myself, so you can pray for me and I pray for you. Now, while we're at the subject of experiential knowledge of Jesus and the effects on our lives, there's something strange going on. It's called experiential theology. That means to believe what we experience and what we feel. When we just feel so right about this or that. But feelings are mostly wrong. Let's look at some experience like dreams, visions, voices, so-called words from the Lord, messages from angels, appearances of Jesus, of Mary, of appearances of relatives. They can't give us no doctrine. How do we know it's not some low-ranking demon disguising himself as an angel of light? We were warned he's doing this. We must not believe everything we experience, but we should experience the truth which we believe. That's a big difference. The Christian life is full of legitimate experiences, but experience is to follow. The experience has to follow the truth, not lead the truth. To experience resurrection power in our lives is our God-given right. But the devil is into, huh? It still works. Huh? The Christian life is full of legitimate experiences, so it has to follow. To experience resurrection power in our lives is our God-given right. But the devil is into perverting everything. He will either push the church into cold theology without experience, or he will push the church into experiences without sound doctrine. That's where a lot of churches are today. But experiential theology without sound doctrine. Okay. While we're at this subject of experiences, the Christian life needs three meaningful experiences. Number one, a meaningful experience with God in his prayer closet and in personal Bible study. Number two, Christians need a meaningful experience with other believers. Since we are partners, we need partnership meetings. And we need, number three, meaningful experiences with unbelievers. Can you believe that? Since we are priests and prophets, we need to represent them before God. That's what a priest does. And we need to represent God before them. That's what a prophet does. A prophet simply has a message from God. The message is written in these words, in this prophecy, this Bible. In a nutshell, the message says, my government in heaven is a dictatorship and it requires an unconditional surrender to the lordship of King Jesus from you. Now, if you surrender to him, then he will let you live and you will rule with him and his government now and forever. This is exactly what an ambassador does. An ambassador carries no weapons. He uses no force, but only communicates a message. The Christian life needs to be lived and experienced. I know one young man who gave out about 1,000 tracts in 1 year, Bible tracts. Jesus produced full-blown apostles in about 3 years. But back to Paul, he said in so many words, that I may know him experientially, even suffer the way he did. I want to know what he went through and know how he felt. That's a strange thing to say. The natural human being wants to enjoy life, and the spiritual man, but the spiritual man says, I want to experience some suffering for Jesus in this life. Someone might say, well, Paul, you need counseling. You need to be medicated. You're down on yourself. You're down on this life. You're downright suicidal and dangerous to yourself. You need to be incarcerated, really. The words that come to mind is what Jesus said a long time ago. If any man come to me and does not hate his father, mother, and wife, and children, brother, and sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, fortunately, the word hate here also means to love less. So we have to love our families less than Jesus. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, he said. A disciple, of course, is more than just a believer, because every demon is a God-fearing believer. But Jesus said to make disciples, not believers. A disciple is a learner, a student, a follower, and an imitator of Jesus Christ. It's also the only life worth living. People who live for themselves mostly are miserable. We have invented a category that doesn't even exist in the Bible, which is passive intellectual believers. We should read what James is saying about that. He has something to say about that. That's why Jesus can say, unless someone bears his own cross, he cannot be my disciple. The cross is not my backache or my problem I've created for myself. No, the cross is symbolic for carrying somebody else's burdens, carrying it voluntarily and at my own expense, just like the merciful Samaritan demonstrated. Just as Jesus did suffer, not for his own reasons, but to deliver us from our problems. But back to Paul and his mindset, expressed in the statement like, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. One Englishman pointed to his mansions and to his treasures and said, these are the things that make it hard to die. And Paul pointed to something he discovered and said, these are the heavenly things that make it hard to live in this world. Why is that? The teacher asked little John, Johnny, is yours flat or round? Johnny said, my daddy said, the world is crooked. There are two extremes that can make a person suicidal, either not enough hope or too much hope. In other words, to see with our spiritually renewed mind the hope that is laid up for us in heaven can make us totally disinterested in this world. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Paul said, the world was crucified to him, and he was crucified to the world. In other words, the world was useless to him, and he was useless to his world system, totally disinterested in what this world had to offer to him. If we think that this is a good spiritual goal to have, this mindset of Paul, and I think it is, then we should consider the process which got Paul to this desired end product. First of all, what was the treasure Paul referred to that made it so hard for him to live on in this crooked world? Well, he listed knowing Jesus experientially, then experiencing resurrection power in his life, and the secret of going hungry. He listed the experience of Christ's sufferings and attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Those were the things that make it hard for Paul to live in this world. Paul also practiced what he preached. This is what he preached in chapter 2 of Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's being a disciple. And he explained the mindset of Jesus by saying, Jesus was ruling in heaven as God, but he became a servant in the form of man. He became obedient to the death on the cross. create some very attractive benefits for it. Like what? Well, like here, you receive the greatest name. Then everyone will have to acknowledge him as Lord. He was resurrected, glorified, and promoted. He got new looks and new clothes. He received power over all flesh and power in all of heaven. And he is sitting at the right hand of God, giving you orders now. Then he will move into the new heaven and the new earth with us someday. He will be worshipped, admired, and loved by us. In other words, some very attractive things Jesus reaped. Those were the things that make it hard for Jesus to live in this world too. As he said, I must go to Jerusalem and be killed. In other words, bring it on. But back to the process of getting us to that mindset of Jesus and Paul. Here's the process. It's looking at our hope. It's studying our hope. Studying God or studying Jesus will cause us to see him better and love him more. Also studying our inheritance will cause us to see it better and love it more. It's like a teeter-totter. Our love is either on this life or on the other life. It's either serving God or serving money and self. Well, I believe the best way to transfer resurrection power from God to us is to believe and to act upon what Jesus had said a long time ago. He said, do not labor for the meat which perishes, but do labor for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give unto you. He said, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So we need to inhale his word. It's the process that will get us to the mindset of Christ.